Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A new scientific study has confirmed what we all have said from the very beginning, and that is sexual orientation is not something in which you are born that way. It is environmental. It is a choice, but it is not something that you are hardwired to be from birth. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications from Liberty Counsel. Matt, this is a new study. It's not certainly the first study, but it is the most recent study. It's very detailed, and it is from people who are associated with Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Paul McHugh and others put this study together. And it has several sections, one of which is the issue of sexual orientation, which we'll talk about today. And the conclusion is, it says this as part of the summary of the conclusion, the understanding of sexual orientation as an innate, biologically fixed property of human beings, the idea that people are born that way, is not supported by scientific evidence. That's a quote from the executive summary of this new study.
Yeah, that's right. And like you say, it establishes scientifically the self-evident truth that people are not biologically born homosexual. It defies biology. It defies logic. It people are not made for that kind of physical interaction, our reproductive system and so forth. But part one talks about sexual orientation and it breaks it down and human beings, the idea that people are, quote, born that way is not supported by scientific evidence. You don't get a conclusion that is much more clear than that. It says, while there is evidence that biological factors such as genes and hormones are associated with sexual behaviors and attractions, there are no compelling causal biological explanations for human sexual so-called orientation. While minor differences in the brain structures and brain activity between homosexual and heterosexual individuals have been identified by some researchers, such neurobiological facts do not demonstrate whether these differences are innate or are the result of environmental and psychological factors that come up, Matt, after the fact.
Well, they also talk about longitudinal studies, studies that are done over a period of time of adolescence suggest that this idea of being wired one way or another is quite fluid. In fact, as many as 80% of male adolescents who at some point in time have experienced a same-sex attraction no longer do as adults. So to suggest that they are homosexual, which is what these so-called LGBT policies really are trying to do, to wire them or push them into a particular direction, is very harmful because those thoughts, those feelings are, for the most people that ever have them, fleeting. And also it says, compared to heterosexuals, non-heterosexuals are 2 to 3 times as likely to have experienced childhood sexual abuse. In other words, people that experience same-sex sexual attractions, both men and women, are 2 to 3 times more likely to have had a childhood sexual abuse in their history.
You know, and so many don't have strong father figures in their lives as well, looking for that love, whether they're female or male, you know, tend to go into the homosexual lifestyle trying to get that love they never were affirmed from the father.
And the LGBT so-called the activists just lose their mind when you bring up those objective empirical facts, those realities. This again, it stands repeating, compared to heterosexuals, non-heterosexuals are about 2 to 3 times as likely to have experienced childhood sexual abuse. Matt, that is reaffirmed by a 2001 study archives of sexual behavior that found that nearly half of those who end up identifying as gay, as homosexual, were sexually abused as children, as compared to 7% of heterosexuals. So this is something that the elephant in the room you cannot deny. And now they, you know, these draconian laws to try to keep these sexual abuse victims from getting to the root of their same-sex attraction, the sexual abuse itself, it are just unconscionable.
You know, when you're saying 2 to 3 times, you're talking about 200 to 300%. That's what 2 to 3 times means. It's not like 30%, 50%, because 50% is only half. You're talking about 200 to 300% increase. And when you look at the study, it also goes into mental health outcomes. And they said compared to the general population, those that have same-sex attractions or non-heterosexual population have a variety of health and mental health outcomes that are adverse. Members of non-heterosexual population are estimated to have 1.5 times higher risk of experiencing anxiety disorders than members of the heterosexual population, as well as roughly double the risk of depression, 1.5 times the risk of substance abuse, and nearly 2.5 times the risk of suicide. Now, someone might say, well, it's because of the stigma. We need to stop all the stigma and accept this and normalize it. Not true. A study recently came out in the Netherlands that is a very pro-LGBT population and environment, and it found the same kinds of elevated health and mental risk there, even in a very pro-LGBT environment.
Right, and this is a very credible scientific study. The scientist says this is about science and medicine, nothing else. It's very objective, that evaluates data from over 200 peer-reviewed studies. So it's a very good source showing this is the scientific results of what we found. There is no gene for homosexuals.
That's called a meta-analysis, which are frequently the most comprehensive of these types of studies.
Right, because it takes, it's a study of studies.
Right.
It's not just one study, just one slice of the pie. It's looking at the entire pie,
all of the different slices that make up that pie. Peer-reviewed studies.
Yeah. Right, and then it looks at that as an analysis. So you're getting a better result when you're doing this kind of what's called, as Matt says, a meta-analysis. You're looking at, it's a study of studies.
Right.
Now, it also says that members of the transgender population, these are men who want to be in their mind women and vice versa, they also are at higher risk of a variety of mental health problems compared to members of the non-transgender population. Especially alarming, it says, the rate of lifetime suicide attempts across all ages of transgender individuals is estimated at 41% compared to under 5% of the overall population. So in other words, you put them all together, 5% of the overall population would have considered suicide, had suicidal attempts. You put the transgender population, nearly half of those have considered or engaged in attempted suicide.
And the numbers are 41% even for post-op. So the trying to treat this false perception by trying to bring reality with a surgical knife, to comport with this false perception, something that is impossible, they still know deep down inside they're male or they're female. That's not going to change. It's a mental illness, and so that the suicide rates are astronomical. But this doesn't even address the study, the studies that the CDC has come out with that show the physiological detrimental effects of homosexual behavior and transgender behaviors, astronomical levels of STDs and substance abuse problems, as you mentioned, Matt, and other things.
Right, as well as anxiety, depression, and suicide as well. So,
and you know, this 5% of the overall population that have attempted suicide includes the 41% of the transgender community. It's inside of that. So although it's a small community, that's also contributing to the 5%. Nearly half of people who want to identify as something other than their biology, nearly half, 41%, have attempted suicide. That's why Johns Hopkins University, which is the first institution in the country, frankly, in the world, but certainly in the United States, that did the so-called sex reassignment surgery, which is plastic surgery, cutting off things, adding things, doing hormone treatments, ultimately stopped because they found that there was no benefit. People that went through these surgeries ultimately regretted it and they wanted to return to their original biology. I've met people, both in the United States and in Latin America, that have done just this very thing, regretted going through this incredibly invasive, dangerous plastic surgery and hormone treatment and want to go back to the way that they were actually born. Now, this is not benefiting people when you try to assuage them to suggest that their thinking is normal. This is dangerous, people. And if we love as we should, then we cannot remain silent in the face of this insanity. For more information, visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.